Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Legacy Forum tonight. Got started off with old-fashioned songs. You may remember that from last week, and you may also remember that it was written by, yes, your one and only Harry Shavery. I don't think we mentioned last week, though, that that beautiful voice that you hear is Christy Saul. So, Christy, if you're listening, thank you, and how about that blast from the past? This is Robin and Harry Shavery. You can tell it's Monday because we're here every night at 10 o'clock, and we come to you giving our best to make this world a better place. You can call us by dialing 347-677-0699. Each week, we begin with Things to Know segment. So after many hours of exhaustive pondering, interrupted by long periods of well-deserved rest, we present Things to Know.
Things to Know. Know this, the best song to listen to while driving, according to insurance.com, is Journey's Stop Believing. I never liked that song much, but I guess I don't drive enough. The second best song is Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. Things to Know. Know this. Are you happy with the service you receive at retail establishments? Well, here are the ratings by the service, by their service they provide to the customers, of course. The bottom five retail establishments in the category of customer service are, you ready? You ready? Number five, Macy's. Macy's American Customer Satisfaction Index, ACSI, if you're taking notes, score was only 76. Second worst among major department stores or discount retailers for 2013. Number four, are you ready? Walgreens, the Walgreen Company. Despite its unimpressive ACSI score, the company was ranked the company among the top retailers for customers' retention. That's right. Customers keep going back regardless of how poorly they are treated. Number three, CVS, Caremark Corporation. Customers were far more satisfied when shopping at smaller drugstores. And right there with CVS is number two, Rite Aid Corporation. Just 34% of reviewers stated they would recommend this company to a friend. Number one, pens and paper out. Number one, no real surprise here. No retailer had a worse SACSI score than Walmart. You heard me right. Walmart is the worst of the worst. Know this. Students in Oklahoma have a brighter future than many students in other states. For the first time, the state's graduating high school students must demonstrate a basic understanding in 14 areas of personal finance. Oklahoma is about to coronate one of the most comprehensive statewide school-based financial education programs in our country. Beginning this May, to graduate from high school, students in Oklahoma must demonstrate an understanding of 14 wide-ranging money management concepts. This group of graduates began their financial education during the seventh grade. Good luck, Okies. Know this, 180,000 Medicare patients die annually because of unintended harm in the course of their treatments. Know this, it has more miles of rivers than any other state in America. Is Nebraska. Well, my work is done and hope I've earned my keep.
Well, I think I'll keep you around. You do make a good traveling companion, but more on that next. First, you need to introduce our guest, Harry.
I know, I'm so excited. This lady I just recently met, Mary, is a lady who enjoys learning, teaching, and training in all aspects of life, both in the personal and professional life. Now, she loves to experience a variety of things and is unafraid. Now, you heard me right. She's unafraid to attempt the unknown. She can complete a profit and loss analysis. That's right. She knows how to read a P&L. Most people don't. And she can teach Muay Thai. I think that's incredible. In addition, she started her own skincare business, and she enjoys sharing her experiences to inspire others so they can take chances on something new and at times difficult, like Muay Thai. It is our pleasure, it is our honor, and welcoming Mary Stillo to the Legacy Forum. Mary, are you there?
I am.
Well, welcome, welcome. We are so thrilled to have you here this evening. It is our pleasure. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what makes you tick.
Well, you know, I like to tell people that I work to eat out and I eat to sleep. I just really love, you know, getting to know people and learning new things and going and training at the gym and coming home every night to my husband to cook.
Now, I've seen pictures of you, and my wife is sitting here, so I won't get hit too hard. But what makes an attractive lady like you want to get in to mixed martial arts?
Well, it actually started as a way for me to have a work-life balance and an alternative to law enforcement. So I was urged by someone at the time to try martial arts or try something. And so I just showed up at a gym one day, and I loved it. I found a Muay Thai gym and didn't know anything about it, didn't know what it was. And 3 years later, I can't get enough of it.
So let me understand this. You were looking just for a work life or a balance. And you decided just to walk into a gym. Did you not understand that Muay Thai is one of the most difficult forms of martial arts out there today? I mean, most people don't understand that Muay Thai is tough. You just walked into there and said, hey, I want to learn?
I did. And I had no idea what I wanted to do.
Well, that's fascinating because I will tell you, most people would start out with something, I won't say softer, but Muay Thai is not known as a soft sport. Can And for those that don't know, you and I are a little bit privileged here because we understand, say, the difference between Shotokan or Taekwondo or, you know, Hapkido, and the difference between that and Muay Thai. Can you explain Muay Thai and what it is to our listening audience?
Sure. So a lot of martial arts are for competition and looking at form, and a lot of them have 2 points of contact when you fight. And Muay Thai tends to be known as one of the most brutal sports because it's the art of eight limbs. You attack with everything, your hands, your elbows, your shins, your knees, your feet, and it's incredible. The deadliest weapon on the body is your knee if you learn to use it appropriately, and that's one of the limbs that Muay Thai teaches, and you're taught to attack and win the fight, and it can be brutal, but it can also be seen as an art and beautiful, which I learned both sides of it.
Well, I have a friend of mine. I don't know if you know him because he's my age, and he still promotes fights. There's a guy named Dale Cook, and Dale got into form of Muay Thai at a time, and he used to go around kicking chairs with a shin. Now, do you do those kind of things to toughen up your shins?
Well, I don't kick chairs, but we have been known to train with old tires.
So you have probably, how do you maintain good-looking legs, or do you even really care about that?
No, I wear pants.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, Dale's shins were always really, really ugly. And I'm going, now how does this attractive lady pull off a dress with the shins of a Muay Thai fighter? It amazes me. So if you were going to say somebody at a party was being a little frisky with you and you knew you could take care of them, how would you let them know that you could hurt them?
Well, really and truly, it starts with your nonverbal communication, and you can change the mood of a situation with a single look. But I also did a little bit of JKD or Jeet Kune Do training at the World Martial Arts Gym in Jacksonville that I went to, and all it takes is a touch. You know, you put the right pressure in the right place, and they know that you're serious and that they probably shouldn't mess with you. But I can tell you it's definitely made me much more comfortable around people in a crowd because I know that I could defend myself effectively.
So explain to our audience. Now, Jeet Kune Do was a branch of Kung Fu developed by Bruce Lee. Now, who taught you Jeet Kune Do?
Actually, my same instructor that taught me Muay Thai it's called the World Martial Arts Academy in Jacksonville, and his name's Crew Darwin, and he's phenomenal. He taught me everything I know, and it's amazing how much when you go from different art to different art, how it ups your game. I mean, even working the ground game, grappling increases how well you do Muay Thai because you clinch up and you're basically grappling standing up, and Jeet Kune Do just makes you so much quicker. You can see things 3 steps ahead, and it's just incredible.
So you went. Did you study Jeet Kune Do first, or Muay Thai first, or both at the same time?
Actually, I did Muay Thai. I focused on Muay Thai. I like it the most. I love to kick. That's my favorite thing to do. But then I worked a little bit on the ground and did some grappling and then a little bit of self-defense and Jeet Kune Do to supplement my Muay Thai.
So a lot of people see, you know, the UFC and the MMA fighters, and they, you know, there's this whole, school of thought today that grappling is superior to stand-up fighting. How would you address someone that says, hey, listen, Muay Thai can't compete with a grappler, since you do MMA now, how would you handle that debate?
Sure. Well, you know, any fight can go to the ground, but, you know, you've got to get me to the ground first. So if you're in MMA and you're talking about comparing Muay Thai to ground game and what's more effective, well, your ground game's not going to do anything if you can't get me on the ground. And Muay Thai addresses that. I spent a lot of time with Crew Darwin learning how to keep from being taken down to the ground and defending attacks. And it's about your body movement and sinking into to an attack and moving your hips. But, you know, I learned the ground game too. So you can either, A, use it when you get in the clinch or in the pocket, or you can handle your own and get back up from the ground.
So why being able to handle yourself, why is that so important? I mean, why, if you're talking to females in the audience, why is it important that a female be able to take care of herself?
Well, I truly did not understand until I started training just how much stronger men are. And it never really intimidated me before, but the more I trained with males, and that's all I trained with because there are so few females, but the more I trained with them, the more I realized how strong they are. And through that, I also found that if you throw a punch correctly, it doesn't matter how strong they are. You can still knock them out or do a lot of damage enough to get away. But the reality is that if you get in a fight or if a guy tries to overpower you or even another female, it's either most likely going to end up on the ground or you're going to have to stand your ground. And that's really difficult to do in a moment of just adrenaline pumping terror or fear, or just the adrenaline in general is so overwhelming that you resort to your lowest level of training. And so, if you don't do it, then you're vulnerable.
So wouldn't you say that you have a definite advantage? Because I've seen you, and you would have an advantage in a fight, because I would predict that most men would not even would come close to thinking that you could take them out. So wouldn't that element of surprise give you a definite advantage?
Oh, yeah, it's all about surprise. Even if you're training to fight, I watched a lot of fight camps with the guys, and it's, you know, it's about surprise. You know, what are you going to throw? If most 9 times out of 10 you're expected to throw a jab, then throw the cross, you know, because it surprises them, and you have the upper hand.
So for the females in the audience, if they were in a situation and a guy was being, say, overly friendly, wouldn't you say that a well-trained female fighter could subdue the average guy in a bar in a moment if she just knew what to do?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I got to tell you, the first time I was cut in the ring, a female did it. A girl sliced my eye wide open, surprised the heck out of me, and I never underestimated a female fighter since then. So what would be your and I'm not going to say that you've ever been in a bar. I'm not going to say you've ever had a drink of alcohol in your life. But suppose that you were in a bar and you had a drink and a guy was getting overly friendly. How would you handle that?
Well, I mean, first, I would always try to talk them down and, you know, in a way that shows them that I'm not interested and make distance between us. The biggest thing that you have to fear when you get in a situation like that, especially the woman, is the space. You know, the more space you create, the more likely you are to be able to get away. They have to work harder. They have to think longer. You know, half a second changes a fight. Half a second could save your life or keep you from being assaulted. You know, the same principles in a fight transfer to any fight in life.
So let's translate that to any fight in life. And that's, you know, the martial arts, even though it is a military, martial being military and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, Gichin Funakoshi, who is a founder of modern-day karate in the United States, you know, he says you learn to train to fight so you don't have to fight. So I guess my point would be translate, and how do you transition what you've learned in the martial arts, how do you apply that to business?
Sure. Well, Muay Thai taught me more discipline than anything else. And when I say discipline, I guess I really mean patience. Yeah, you come in and you have to clear your head and you can't think about anything else except for just what you're doing. And it's really helped me to gain perspective in the workplace. And when I come into work, I come into work. I clear my head of everything else, and I truly learn to leave everything at the door and just tackle what I need to tackle and get the work done. And Muay Thai really helped me with that, to be able to clear my mind and just do what I need to do.
So how
many much more
would,
successful.
Absolutely. And one thing you and I both know, when you're in the ring and you just got the opponent in front of you, if you get distracted by the crowd, the opponent's got the advantage. But now, when you first started Muay Thai, because this is not just, you know, your neighborhood Taekwondo studio that you go down to and you know, you learn the Jungs and you look all pretty. Muay Thai's tough. So what did your family and friends say to you when you said, hey, I think I'll go down there and get my butt kissed?
Well, I laugh because that's what most of them did. my friends and family did not want me to do it. They either thought I was a little crazy or, you know, that something was wrong with me. Because it's not something that you're taught, one, that a woman does, and two, that, you know, I'm starting a combat sport at 21, 22 years old. So, I mean, that's, in most people's opinion, a little late in the game starting sports, but it's been the most rewarding for me.
Well, most Muay Thai fighters start, you know, especially in Thailand, they start, you know, very young. They're probably teens, but in our society, 21 is not too young, depending on where you train. So, if you're in a situation, does a guy at 6'6", 250 pounds really intimidate you anymore?
Well, yes. It's intimidating. What? The size is intimidating, but I'm not scared. You know, I would feel comfortable holding my own and, you know, giving the right body language. It's all about, you know, positioning and how you look at them and how you respond to them.
So if somebody was 6'6", 250, and you had somebody else 5'8", 180, would it make any difference to you as far as your confidence and your ability to take them out?
No.
Okay, there we go.
The bigger they are, the harder they fall. It's so true.
and it is, and a lot, especially females, don't realize that. Somebody who is 6'6", 250, has as many vulnerable points as somebody 5'8", 180. Just have to know where they are and what they look at and position yourself to take advantage of them. And that's the thing that I admire about somebody, especially like you, who had the courage to get involved in Muay Thai. So now we talked about a little bit about business. Now, since in the beginning, you know, people weren't really encouraging of this venture of yours, how does that help you as a person?
Yeah, it's only made me more courageous. To be able to be unsure about something, but to know you want to make a change or do something different and be scared. And I was scared of what might happen or what I might be getting myself into, but being on the other side of it and loving it so much has just changed the way that I look at things. I take more chances. I mean, you mentioned me starting a skincare business, I would have never done that. I would have looked into it and just kind of left it out on the own. So the chances I'm taking and the payoff on the other end are just night and day compared to the decisions I made previously.
Well, President Roosevelt gave a speech a long time ago in Paris, and he talked about where the credit goes. It's for somebody who's been in the ring, who is marred in the ring, who gets bloody in the ring, and that's where the thrill comes in. And I don't think a lot of people are going to understand why you do what you do, because they will never know the thrill of victory. All they know is you know, being afraid and taking the easy way out. So you're truly to be admired. So if you have a young lady in the audience and somebody wants to really know how to live life to a different level, what advice would you give them?
I would say go for it, and just know that when people doubt you or just are unsure because they don't know, they're scared, and you still need to take the chance anyway. And some people are going to come along and support you along the way, and some people aren't. But I guarantee if you take the chance, the other side of it will look completely different to you. You'll look completely different to yourself, and the experience is worth all of it.
Well, I'm impressed. I'm really, really impressed. My hat goes off to you. I think your new venture in skincare is going to be wonderful. I think the most important thing that our audience can take from you is that if you really want to do something, connect yourself with the right people, get the right training, and regardless of whether you win or lose the fight in the ring, you come out victorious because you had the courage to get in the ring. And I tell that story, you know, something like that many times, because many times in the martial arts I've watched a parent encourage a child to do something the parent wouldn't do. And then I'll talk to the parent and I'll say, why aren't you out here doing this as well? And it's because they don't have the courage. But that child learning how to get in the ring and take chances, whether or not they win the fight or not, they come out way ahead. And I don't know, you know, where the road to Muay Thai leads you, but I do know that 3 years of Muay Thai is more victories just getting there every day than experience in a lifetime. So that being said, give us one, if someone wants to get a hold of you and someone wants to learn from you, whether it's learn Muay Thai, whether it's learn, you know, ground fighting, grappling, or just how in the world can they be a better person, how do they get a hold of you?
Sure. Well, I actually just started my first of three interviews for a coaching position tonight at the UFC gym in Colorado. So that's one way. But you can also find me on Facebook. I respond every day to messages, and you can just look me up by my name or even by email. It's actually my maiden name, but it's mary.oberry1988@gmail.com, and you'll be able to get in touch with me at any of those places.
Well, I hope our listeners get a hold of you. I hope they contact you, because there's one thing I've always enjoyed, and it's teaching a female how to take care of themselves, because they really have an advantage in most situations, because most men do not have a clue how to protect themselves, and they sure do not know how to protect themselves in that surprise moment from a female that knows what to do. So, Mary, thank you so much for joining this evening. It has been truly a pleasure, and good luck on your job interviews for the UFC gym in Colorado. And if they need a reference, have them call me.
Well, thank you.
Mary, thank you. This is Robin again. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. You certainly are inspiration to women that may think that that's just not for them. So thank you for sharing. Harry has shared a little bit with me along the way, and I've only made one guy cry. That's pretty fun. But it's not my passion. My passion, as you probably know, and most of our listeners do, is yoga. So I love the fact that yoga and the martial arts do marry in their philosophy in very many senses. So, you know, it brings Harry and I close together, having those similarities. But then he has, you know, the martial arts aspect, and I have the yoga. But once again, I just want to thank you for being with us tonight and being such an inspiration. Good luck with your new skincare business. And hopefully you can come back and be with us again a little later on and tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
Thank you. You have a great evening.
You too.
Wow, what an inspiration. I mean, Mary.
Hey, man, you got to let the people applaud for these wonderful guests. You got to let them have their say. You've got to let them just, you know, they just can't remain quiet forever. So go ahead. Go ahead.
I know I'm you know how I am. When I see a female fighter or a female that can take care of themselves, it really impresses me. And then she has the ability to understand how it can transform her life, not only in business but in other aspects. It amazes me. It truly does. Now I guess it is time for us to go where most faint-hearted people fear to go, in the world of personal economic responsibilities. Here we go. Now let's focus on your personal economy. Let us provide a little education. If you have your pencil and paper, get ready. Truth or myth? Here we go. Play a little game, truth or myth. You should keep a balance on your credit card to build your credit score. Now, this is a very popular belief, but maintaining a balance will not improve your credit. You may end up paying interest charges. A better idea for you is to pay your bill off each and every month on time. In addition, keep your credit utilization low. Avoid using too much of your credit line. Don't max out your credit limit. You know, if you have a $10,000 credit line, you keep it low, that helps your credit scores. So there is no truth to keeping a balance on a credit card improves your credit score. Truth or myth, remodeling your home is a good investment. That's a myth. It's kind of like a myth that owning your home is a good investment, which owning your home sometimes is a good investment and sometimes it isn't. Remodeling your home isn't always a good investment because it depends what you're doing. Adding a pool adds no value to your home generally. Now, some of the best ideas you can do is replace your exterior siding, replace an entry door. You know, it depends on the kitchen remodeling. But when you remodel your home, be very careful. It's a myth that remodeling your home is a good investment. Truth or myth? Banks are the best place to keep your money. Well, I guess in a literal sense it may be true because, you know, if you have at least, you know, up to $250,000, the FDIC is insuring it. Remember, when you keep your money in the bank, the interest rate's rather low, and it often does not keep track or keep pace with inflation. So it could be true that it's a safe place, but it's also a myth that it's a great place. Truth or myth, you should always diversify your investments. Well, again, it could be true or it could be a myth. Diversifying your investments can help you avoid financial ruin if you place all your money in one stock and then the stock plummets. But if the stock takes off, then it's a myth. Diversifying your investments can help limit your financial risk, but according to Investopedia, there are several times when diversifying is not the best idea. It is not, depending on the stock, you know, the sectors of the stock you put it into. So diversifying investments is often a good decision, but it is not always the right decision. Truth or myth, moving to a higher tax bracket will leave you with less money. Now, that's a myth. Moving to a new tax bracket should be something to celebrate, not something to worry about. I mean, tax rates in our country are progressive, so the entirety of your income won't be taxed higher just because you're in a new income tax bracket. Only the amount of your income that goes over that previous tax rate will be taxed at a higher rate. So moving into a higher tax bracket is a good thing. Truth or myth, using cash will help you save money. Now, sometimes it's best to pay with cash, but according to Dun & Bradstreet, a study found that customers spend an average of 12 to 18% more when using a credit card. So using cash can often help you, you know, save money because you're spending it rather than putting out a card because you see it leaving your hand. So I hope those help you because there are many other money myths out there, some of which have changed over time and some remain constant. But you need to figure out what is right for you and understand what's the difference between an asset and a liability. Well, that's my personal economy for this evening, my love.
Well, speaking of your personal things, we have a personal song that you wrote a little while back called Little Old Man. Right after it, we'll be coming back with your self-development segment. But listen up, Little Old Man by Harry Shavery.
Never read a book, never learned to read or write. Worked all day just to earn his pay, waiting for his dream tonight. But this old man sitting next to me, dreaming of things to be. Ain't he a little like you and me? Working since the age of six, it's told, coming from a family of ten. Working through the years till he's so old, people say he's older than sin. But this old man found a way, happier than some may say, living life as it's meant to be. And you know it's only happiness that we all should try to find. But nothing can serve itself, let alone the watermelon rind. For you know that makes this life worthwhile. And could I beg you for the chance to walk with me a mile?
Process of human change begins within us. We all have tremendous potential. We all desire good results from our efforts. Most of us are willing to work hard and pay the price that success and happiness demands. Each of us has the ability to put our unique human potential into action and acquire a desired result. But the one thing that determines the level of our potential, the one thing that produces the intensity of our activity, and that predicts the quality of the results we receive is our attitude. Attitude determines how much of the future we are allowed to see. It decides the size of our dreams and influences our determination when we are forced with new challenges. No other person on earth has dominion over attitude. People can affect our attitudes by teaching us, you know, poor thinking habits or unintentionally, you know, misinforming us or providing us with negative sources of influence, but no one can control our attitude unless we surrender that control. I mean, no one else makes us angry. We make ourselves angry when we surrender control of our attitude. What someone else may have done is irrelevant. We choose our attitude, not them. They merely put our attitude to a test. They do. People test us all the time. If we select a volatile attitude by becoming hostile, angry, jealous, or even suspicious, then we have failed the test. If we condemn ourselves by believing that we are unworthy, then again, we have failed the test. If we care at all about ourselves, then we must accept full responsibility for our own feelings. We must learn to guard against those feelings that have the capacity to lead our attitude down the wrong path and to strengthen those feelings that can lead us profitably, boldly, into a better future. If we want to receive the rewards the future holds in trust for us, then we must exercise the most important choice given to us by maintaining total dominion over our attitude. Our attitude. It is our attitude that is an asset. It is a treasure of great value which we must protect. Beware of the vandals and thieves among us who would injure our positive attitude or seek to steal it away. Having the right attitude is one of the best and most basic items that success requires. The combination of a sound personal philosophy and a positive attitude about ourselves and, in fact, the world around us gives us the inner strength and a firm resolve that influences all the other areas of our existence. Now, let us hear some music from our friend Amy Hendrickson.
I should have met you 1,000,000 times or more. Oh, but it wasn't right for you to cross my path to find my door not yet. And I remember everything about that day. Well, your smile, your smell, your words blew me away. Yeah, yeah, hey, yeah, all right.
I love you, I say.
just doesn't get much more beautiful than that. Amy Hendrickson. Go listen to her if you're anywhere near St. Augustine, Florida. She's usually playing most every afternoon in one of the restaurants you find down there around Fort George Street. Just give her a listen. You'll most likely fall in love with her. To start our Legacy Tour 2014. We're excited. The center of the Legacy Tour 2014 is now what is evolving, growing rapidly, getting very exciting, and we call the segment Open Road Yoga with Robin. Well, it's official now because we've spent many hours with our graphic design artist this week, David Russell. A little plug for David. He's put up with me and Harry, okay, mainly me. His company is called DAR Designs. And if you're looking for a unique design, he can certainly help you design, as well as he has many of your standard vinyls that you might be looking for your car in stock. You can call him at 904-304-4459, or you can email him at darsnafu, that's darsnafu at yahoo.com. If you're looking for some great vinyl work, give him a shout. I'm super happy with Open Road Yoga with Robin, and I'll be revealing that on our website soon, or actually my Facebook page, which is Open Road Yoga with Robin on Facebook. So hunt me down there, and you can see our vinyl that we're going to put on the back window of the RV. As many of you know, if you've been listening, you know we're going to hit the road soon. We're taking off to Louisiana first. I know we have one of our faithful listeners listening in that's going to help us out with one of our parties with Nerium International, our new skincare product, our company that we're very excited to share that's also propelling us on this legacy tour. So I'm glad you're out there listening to us tonight, Jackie, and we look forward to seeing you soon. So, if you know anyone along our path, we're going to be heading out first to Lafayette, Louisiana. Then we're going to take off, go to Bossier City, Louisiana. Know anybody in those areas? Get in touch with us. We're going to invite them to our party. Our parties, we call them wine and wrinkle parties. We have a little wine, a little soda, whatever. That's not the important part. The important part is this great product. It's an anti-aging skincare treatment, Nerium AD. They just gave it out last night at the Oscars, at the Academy Awards. It's amazing. So if you know anyone that's interested in looking younger or having better looking skin or trying out some yoga, that's what we're going to be doing as we take our path that's going to take us through, as I already mentioned, Louisiana. Then we're going to head up to Tulsa, Oklahoma, Cleveland, Oklahoma, St. Louis, Missouri, and then, of course, Fort Collins, Colorado. Looking forward to seeing everyone along the way. And then November is going to find us in Las Vegas, Nevada. So if you know anyone anywhere near those points of interest that I just mentioned or anywhere in between, please let us know. We'll be happy to hunt them down, give them a hug from you, and share Nerium AD with them as well as some yoga. So not only is the yoga going to make you healthier on the inside, Nerium will make you look better doing it. We have our network marketing segment. Harry, what do you share with us tonight in the network marketing arena?
Well, you know, it always amazes me. Many people speak of governmental control of their personal lives. But I ask each of you to stop and really think about who controls your life, who really controls where you live, what you drive, what time you awake in the morning, what type of house you live in, your doctor, your vacation, when you eat, what you wear, what you say, how you're going to treat people, and even, in many cases, what time you go to the bathroom. That's not the government. Corporations do. The place where you work controls your life. The government has less control than corporate America. Blaming the government allows you not to face the facts. The fact remains the majority of your life controlled by people you never really know. You do not vote for them. They do not campaign. In fact, the majority of the time, they never know you. And yet, you allow them to control your life. Some people, when they awake and realize how little control they have, they ask me, what can be done? Harry, that's just the way it is. I don't know what else to do. Everybody's doing it. I tell them, it is not the way it has to be. It is not that way for millions of people across this vast world. I tell them to invest in themselves, believe in yourself, and try network marketing. If it's good enough for Warren Buffett, it should be good enough for you. If you really believe in allowing others to control your life, get a job. If you like the 40-40-40 plan, get a job. But if you want to regain control of your life and you want to have options, if you're unafraid of being judged by your efforts and reaping the harvest of your work, network marketing may be your answer. You know, I listen to the conservative right-wing media, and they complain the freeloaders in the welfare system. I tell you this, most of the most non-productive, lazy, inefficient, and myopic people work beside you every day. Let me ask you this, and I want you to be really honest with yourself. How many people in your company right now are free riders? How many people really give their duties and their task their best effort? The people hurting our economic engine are working beside you every day. The welfare recipient is not nearly as responsible as those standing beside you and hurting our economy. Those people standing beside you every day, they hurt us more because they are taking the place of someone that would be willing to give it their best. They are standing in the way of progress. The welfare system is convenient to blame because we're not coming in contact with many of them every day. Welfare draws a criticism and anger of the conservative right-wing media, but I tell you that it is 78% of Americans who worry more about their next break than they do than their quality of work. People working beside you are standing in the way of American progress. If you work for a company where everyone gives their best and is really paid for what they produce, contact me. I want to know that company. The inefficient are keeping me really, really qualified from being productive for your company. Stop and think about that for a minute. How great would your company be if people did not watch the clock? How great would your company be if people received pay for the results of their efforts? If people did not get paid just for showing up, breaks, if that ceased? How great would your company be if people showed up on time and they did not leave early, or they did not use Facebook while on the job, or they did not shop online during working hours? Now think about it. Who is really hurting our economy? You know, research has indicated that more than 50% of Americans have surfed the Internet during working hours, and well over half have purchased personal items while on. So I ask you, who is really hurting our economy, and who is standing in our way? Those people working beside you are preventing someone else from being really productive. If you've grown tired of supporting those that fail to work, try network marketing. It is truly a business model that rewards people for the results of their efforts and not those that want a free ride. Those that want a free ride will perish in network marketing. And as Eric Worre says, it's a stone-cold fact, we have a better way. Contact us at legacyforum@yahoo.com That's legacyforum@yahoo.com if you want to learn more about network marketing and why be your answer for economic and time empowerment. If you want more, you must become more.
Weird news.
This is one of my favorite segments. You know that. Everybody knows that. I love this part of our show. I want everybody to stop and think about this really, really hard because this is fun. Attila the Hun was a dwarf.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes I'm just not responsible for what comes out of his face, guys. At any rate, thank you for joining us this evening. Remember, you can always contact us by emailing us at legacyforum@yahoo.com. Legacyforum@yahoo.com. Now go out there and make someone else happy.
See the aristocrat pulling rabbits from his hat. Oh, well, I didn't know it worked like that. Sounds great until you do the math. And now people waking up, poking heads out of their stuff. What an expensive turtle shell. It was probably just as well because I don't want to be the machine powered by the American Dream. Now the people want the truth, but the truth it can't be found. Well, it's just an artifact. To your son, and I watched as it lulled him to sleep with the hypnotic hum of the machine. Here. I've got solutions too. Let's say we turn off the TV.
cures obesity, then we work with what we got. Put it in the pot, and then the teachers get a raise, 'cause it's time that they got